This missions time, I know that things have changed, the economy's changed, opportunities have changed, but the God of heaven hadn't changed, amen. I don't believe you gave your mission offering or the sizable gift that you give every year. I don't believe you give that out of your pocketbook anyway. I believe you pray the God of heaven. I believe you put your hand up toward heaven just like we do at Bethany Baptist Church, and you say, God, if you'll take your big hand and put it in my little hand, then I'll pass it right on through into that offering plate. And so all I get to do is be a mediator of God's blessing, take a hold of it here and put it over there, amen, where God sends it. And I believe that's what you've been doing. I believe that's what you're about to do again. I believe the God of heaven's going to glorify himself in this work again this year. And so you've done a good thing being here and being ready for missions and the missions conference. Now, I want to start tonight, if I could, in Matthew chapter 9. And I won't be there long. We'll head over to the Old Testament book of Ruth. Amen. But I want to show you today, I'm talking tonight about blessings in the field. The blessings that you find in the field. You know, today the average believer is not very excited about the church. He's not very excited about mission work. He's not very excited about the soul winning programs. He's not very excited about them. You know why? Because he's never experienced what happens when you get in the field. Amen. He's never experienced, or if he has experienced it, he's forgotten how it is to be there and see the supernatural, mighty hand of God go to work in people's lives. And this morning, I was on the way back, and I stopped to get some gas, and I had to walk up this little window, and you know how them people all line up behind you, and everybody's got a mask on now, and I don't know if they're robbing the place or buying gas, and they all lined up out there behind the place, and this little old girl in front of me said, "How you do, sir?" I said, "Sis, I am doing great. I got saved about 35 years ago. I'm on the way to heaven. God's blessed me two or three times a day. It's been good all day long. Amen." And a little old black lady was behind the counter cash. She said, "Come on now." She started, "Come on now." And a guy behind us back here said, "I got saved about 12 years ago." And we just had a little meeting right there at the gas pump. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the supernatural hand of God. God is still moving. God is still working. God don't need a great big program. He needs a willing heart. Amen. And God's mind, Jesus' mind, is on the field. Now, let me read these verses to set the stage, and we'll go immediately to Ruth chapter 2. Starting here at about verse 35. "And Jesus went about all their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." You know what our pattern is here? It's our pattern, not only Paul, it's Paul's pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I find in that text, Brother Graham? I find a man with a compassionate servant's heart. He's traveling from one place to another. His mind's on the field. He's trying to work upon their hearts. He's going to their cities and their villages. I did a little count the other day on that man with a name where he came out and healed that little girl or young man on the briar. From where he was to where he was at, it took him a forced march all night long to get there in time to meet that briar. I mean, our Lord had a compassionate servant's heart. And as we come together, his mind was on the field. Today, if you want to know what God's thinking about, he's thinking about the field. Amen. God's got his mind on the field of this earth. The Bible tells us plain that the field is the world. Amen. How the husbandman's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he's always had his mind on the field. He started way back over in the book of Genesis looking for a bride. Amen. And his mind's on the bride that he's saving and calling out of this field tonight. And I tell you what our mind ought to be about in the church. Our mind ought to be on the field and the field of service. We ought to find it with compassionate labor. Service, yes, it'll cost you something. Yes, some of you won't be able to buy what you could have flittered your money away on the next year if you put it in the offering plate. Yes, if you ever go out and wear out a few car tires and wear out a few treads on your shoes, it'll cost you a little something, but you'll be following the path of the Lord Jesus. Not only that, he said, "And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." I see our Lord has a compassionate concern. I don't know if you've got like me or not, but I'm so sick of the attitude in this world that I've become nearly hateful sometimes. You ever got that way? Amen. I was talking to them guys up there this morning at that board meeting. Everybody was there. And I said, I got to talk. I mean, I didn't prepare no notes. I said, well, you gave me this little podium. I'm a preacher. I'm going to talk to you out of my heart. That's what's about to happen. It's my time. And so I just started preaching on some of the evils of alcohol. And I told him, I said, I got a church full of ex-drunks. I have. I told him, I said, I got 5 or 6 kids in my church right now that are adopted children that somebody took in their home and raised for the glory of God out of an abusive, drunken system. Amen. You know what today? We've forgotten to have compassion, haven't we? We've forgotten. Hey, I'm so thankful for people that are compassionate enough to reach out and to care about somebody. I remember, Brother Charlie, when those guys started trying to win me to God. Hey, you know, I was walking around with hair on my shoulder and my shirt down, button undone, down to here somewhere, a wide open, amen, and a little half beard wearing around. And I thought I just hung the whole moon myself. I didn't care what nobody said about nothing. I tell you, I was the biggest smart aleck you ever seen in your life. Right down the line. I mean, I was right there. I didn't care. I had a chip on my shoulder and I'd move it for you. You didn't have to knock it off. Amen. But you know what? Them guys was compassionate with me and they were careful with me and they just kept putting up with my nonsense. Amen. Until they got me around somewhere where the Holy Ghost of God was moving and God spoke to my heart and saved my soul. What a blessing today that somebody was compassionate on me. Hey, I think they ought to do better, but I'm telling you, they don't have no do better in them. They can't do better. They're lost and without God. And somebody's got to love them. And somebody's got to show them the gospel. And more than that, somebody has got to tell them the truth. You can't love nobody to heaven. But I tell you what you can do. You can love them enough to get in a chance to give them the gospel. Amen. Jesus had a compassion for them. He looked out there and saw these people. Some years ago, we were coming back from a mission trip. We'd been all week long preaching down in Mexico, and we crossed the border at Laredo, Texas. At that time, you'd cross on the cobblestones, and there was a little, you had to take insurance papers, and you always had to stop, remember, Brother Charlie, and turn them in. You could go, but you had to stop and turn them in. So we stopped turning in these papers. And while we were there, there was an old boy that come out from under the bridge, and I'm telling you, he had every kind of devil living in him I ever seen. I mean, he had them, boy. I mean, it was all but fire jumping out of this dude's eyes. He was wound up tight. I saw him. I caught him out of the corner of my eye. I looked at him. I watched him. I went on in to do my business. And when I got back out to the truck, there was about 10 guys, and there's 2 or 3 preachers. And they were having a conversation about this fellow. And they was running him down under the rug. And I got in that truck, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "You going to let that go?" I said, "Fellas, did y'all give him a track?" "No, oh, I ain't messing with him, preacher. Something's wrong with that guy." He said, "What are we doing?" I said, "My boy Jonathan was driving." I said, "Jonathan, turn the van around and go over there where we are. Let me out." He let me out, and I went over and I got that old boy a hamburger, gave it to him. You know what he did with it? Spit on him, threw it down. But you know what I'm saying? We'd just been on a mission trip. We'd just seen people saved. We saw guys surrender to preach. Amen. We'd been all over mission churches, all over Mexico. And yet when we got back, we couldn't have compassion on one that was trapped by the devil right here on our side. Isn't that how fickle we are? But Jesus had a compassionate love for these people. He's traveling village to village. He's the Lord of glory. We preached last night about him borrowing Peter's ship. He didn't need Peter's ship. He already walked on the water one time. He could have just walked out there and stood in the middle of the ocean and preached. Amen. But he's the Lord of glory. He's treading this world with a compassion in his heart. Amen. We're missing a few things in the church. We're missing a compassionate heart. We're missing the holiness of a separated life. And we're missing the filling of the Holy Ghost. And that's why the mission churches are suffering today. And the mission fields are suffering. Amen. They count on us at home. You know, when my daughter's there on the mission field, it's very hard. She could call me in the middle of the night. And she did all the time. It'd be the middle of the day for her. But she'd call and say, "Daddy, you got to pray. Got to pray. Whatever his name is here. Sam Buck or whoever he is. Whatever his name is. He's about to get saved. We worried about him. He's got to get born again right now today. Amen." Well, you know, I can't send an outline over to Richie. I can't go door to door and knock on his door. All I can do is get down in the floor and pray. And I got to be able to get over to heaven in about 2 hours later. I get a text back. That old boy got saved. And God's working in that kid's life. And God's doing something here. Amen. I'm just telling you, God's able to work. He just needs some compassionate vessels. Then it said, he said unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know what God's got is, Brother Charlie, you remember how we used to years ago? I was thinking about it just last week. You remember how years ago we never went to a mission conference and somebody didn't say, my house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? Now you know what they're saying? Somebody ought to go. Somebody ought to tell. That's what's going on in mission conferences now. Somebody. How about you? How about you going? How about you loading all you got in a little old, Brother Bill Allen used to call it a please don't rain suitcase. Amen. What he meant was it was a little cardboard box. And I told Brother Allen one time, I said, you know why you can use that please don't rain suitcase? I said, you a little guy, you got little clothes. Amen. I'm a big guy, I got bigger clothes. Amen. He used to fuss at me. He'd pile in a van or one little old box, one little old suitcase, and I'd have a big old thing, a duffel bag I was dragging around. He had all them little clothes because he was a little guy. But you know, how about you piling that stuff up into something and going on? Hey, well, Melanie went to the mission field. You know our biggest challenge was when she got ready to leave? Trying to get that stuff down where she could haul it on an airplane in New Guinea. And then when it got there, it cost another $600 to keep her from throwing away the stuff that we took a whole life and reduced to two suitcases. Amen. Amen. What are you saying? Is that a burden? No, that's a blessing. We had to get down to nothing so we could go let God do something. Compassion. And he's got his mind on the field. Here's how I know. Verse 38. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, they will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what God's wanting to do? He's praying. I wonder tonight, you know, God, I don't know how many prayers the Lord's ever answered for you. I had a burden on my heart all week that was so big I hardly couldn't sleep, and I can't tell you about it. It's people's lives, but I'm telling you, God gave the victory in that thing late last night. I got some phone calls over in that hotel room. God gave the victory. God answered prayer. Hallelujah! What a God that we serve. But you know what I'm telling you today? How many times God's answered your prayers? Here's an opportunity for you to answer His. You see it right here. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Tonight, as we spend these next couple of days thinking about missions and the mission offering, the missionaries and going to the mission field, we're watching them go home and it breaks our heart. And great men of God like Brother Doss leap out of here to glory, amen. And it leaves an aching hole, but the work has still got to go forward, amen. People have still got to be saved. The work's still got to march along one after another. Those men are moving to glory, but we've got to stay faithful. We've got to stay in the traces, amen. We've got to stay right where God put us and do what God gave us to do until the time that God calls us out. So many years ago, I was preaching in a meeting down in Mexico. And I saw this whole thing play out. The altars filled up like they do in Mexico, and there wasn't no place else for me to stand. And so I had moved over to this corner, and I was just standing there. People everywhere, I couldn't move. So I was right there. I couldn't get my nose out of this. And an old preacher, I knew him. He was walking on a walking stick or a crutches, and he came down to the aisle and got in the altar. He got down there and he began to pray. And Brother Reuben Marilla went over and sat down by him, and he told Reuben, he said, Reuben, I got diabetes and I'm sick, and they took my leg off, and I can't go any further. And you know, we need to get a new man to take the church. And Reuben did the strangest thing. He said, we'll go and talk after services. Well, after service was over, that preacher came and he said, come go with me. The preacher said, where are we going, Reuben? He said, we're going back to the altar where you told God you'd stay till you died, and you can tell him there you got to leave. The old man said, Reuben, I'll do my best. You know what he did? He served God right up till he died. Serve the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying today, we got a task to finish because we got a compassionate Lord who's very compassionate. He's serving himself. He's walking around back and forth in this world, and he's praying that God would send somebody the harvest. Now, in just a minute or two that I got left here, I got a few minutes left, turn to Ruth chapter 2, and let me show you. That's the proposition. God's got his mind on the harvest. But let me show you what will happen if you get over in the field. Now, back after I left here last year, right after I left here at the missions conference last year, I had just been stranded in the jungle there. And by the way, somebody asked Melanie, what did you think when your daddy got stranded? She said, I don't know what I thought about him being stranded. I was stranded with him. I know what I thought about me being there. Amen. So it wasn't just me and another preacher. Me and Melanie was stranded right there with me in the rain and sleeping on the side of the road and the whole business. Amen. We were all stranded together over there. But I just had left here and went back home, and God gave me a series of messages that I preached in our place. It was COVID time, and you know, couldn't do a whole lot, but we began to preach on this book of Ruth. Someday I hope God will let me preach the whole thing in a meeting somewhere. But this second chapter is what I want to talk to you about tonight. The Lord just broke it wide open to me. You know, when we first meet Ruth, she's in a dysfunctional family. You don't hear a lot about that today, don't we? Dysfunctional families. I mean, she's in a messed up place. She's in a famine. She finds a place where there's a famine. Her life is marked by famines and family problems and funerals. Hallelujah. That sounds like a wonderful thing for a newlywed, doesn't it? I mean, family problems, funerals, famines in the land, fussing and fighting. And then the only Christian that she really knows, if you want to call her a Christian in those far reaches of the term, she says, go back to the devil. I can't do nothing with you. But there was something in Naomi's life. There was something that girl saw that made her know that even what Naomi was living through was better than anything she'd ever had. And so she follows her mother back to the house of bread. They leave the house of bread for a famine. Elimelech leads them out. His name means God is king. And so God is king, goes down from the house of bread, running from a famine, and loses everything he's got going out of the will of God. Now let me just say as an aside so I can get to chapter 2 and not keep you long. Don't get out of the will of God. How many sermons could we preach, preacher, if we didn't have to call names of shipwrecks that we've seen for one reason? They got out of the will of God. I don't care who you are. You get out of the will of God, and I'm telling you, you're going to wreck. You're going to wreck. Stay where God put you. Do what God gave you to do. Be faithful where God put you at. Serve the Lord. Paul said, I thank God who counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Just do what God gave you to do. They got out of the will of God. That brings us to the great chapter, chapter 2. I want you to see that that's a dark chapter, chapter 1. Can't talk about it much. But I'm preaching about blessings in the field. I'm telling you, God's got his mind on the field. This girl's life changes 100% in the field. It doesn't change. It doesn't change at Naomi's house. You know, she's bitter. I mean, she's one of the only people I ever known told the truth about being bitter. Most bitter people won't admit to being bitter, but she does. They said, that's Naomi. She said, oh, no, not Naomi. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. Amen. I'm bitter. I mean, that was a weird conversation, wasn't it? How you doing? It's good to see you, Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. I'm bitter. I bet you them folks got away from there, don't you? But anyhow, they're a bitter situation, but it all changes in the field. You know today why most churches don't have no glory? They won't fool with the field. You know why most believers don't have no power, no passion? They won't go to the field. They won't get where God's at. They won't do what God's given them to do. And this girl, she's got a desire to go to the field. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, everything in this woman's life is going to change because of this man, Boaz. You know, today I'm standing before you today, and everything in my life changed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not one thing that I did, not one work of righteousness that I'd ever done that won 1 hour or 1 ounce of grace with God. It was the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, the hero of my life and my soul, and made a difference in my life. He saved my life. He saved my soul. He saved my wife. He saved my children. He saved my grandchildren. He's kept me in the work of God all these years. And I'm telling you, the star of my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The star of this girl's life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Melanie works in a field, works in a language, the pidgin language, that don't even have a word for love in it. Am I right about that? Amen. Boy, when they start recording all this stuff, you got to be sure you tell it like it is now, don't you? You know what you say in pidgin if you want to say love? I'm going to try. You want to do it? Say it. Like me good. Is that right? Like me true. That's the closest thing they got to love. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to tell your wife you love her, which they don't do too much of that, but if you're going to, you're going to say, you know, like you true, like me true. No word for love. How do you preach a gospel of love when there is no word for love? People live their whole lives, live and die, without even the concept of love. Amen. That's why the gospel's got to go forth. Not even a concept. No understanding of it whatsoever. It's got to be preached. This girl got saved, I believe, or saved in the Old Testament, got spoiled again. Look what happens to her saved. In verse 2, look what happens. She's got a desire to go to the field. You know what, Brother Charlie, when I got saved, the first thing I want to do was tell somebody. I believe that's scriptural, don't you? The Bible says confession is made with the mouth. Amen. And the first one thing I wanted to do was tell somebody. I went in the house and told my wife. I said, I just got saved. Amen. God just changed my life. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. She said, are you really sure? I'm sure. She said, you need to talk to the preacher. I said, it'll be all right. But I know he's already changed my life. God's came into my heart. I want to tell somebody. I got born again. Amen. You know what we're doing in the mission church? We're just telling somebody Jesus saved us. We got a desire to go to the field. We want everybody to know the God that made the difference in our lives. Amen. You know what she says there? She don't know. She don't know Boaz is in that field. But she's got a desire to go to the field. I didn't know about God what I now 40 years later. I knew 40 years ago when he saved me. But I had a desire to go with him. Amen. I don't have much confidence in the salvation experience that don't put no desire to go with God in your heart. None whatsoever. You come down popping your gum, go back popping your gum, and we got to find you with a C&I dog. I would be afraid of what was going to happen when it came time to die. But here in this text, she's got a desire to go to the field. You know what we're here for this week? You know when Brother Charlie asked us to come in, while you gathered out here, we're trying to kindle and rekindle that desire to see people saved, to see the work of God go forward. You know, God deserves the honor and the glory for what he paid for on Calvary. Can't become a byword. Ruth said, the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. After him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She said, let me go find some grace. You know, I'm going out walking in grace and I'm willing to glean. Brother, I didn't get to live in a Philadelphian age. I didn't get into incoming. But I'm telling you, I've been into gleaning. And I just want to do a little more gleaning, amen? Brother Charlie, it just means a lot to me to see somebody get saved. Amen. It just encouraged my soul. I'm telling you, I just get a case of the holy giggles. I go home and lay awake at night and think about it. I am so glad. Hey, I got some people on my mind. I want to see them saved. I'm telling you, I'm just imagining the joy that's going to be in my soul when I hear that God finally got them. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, we want to go out in the field. Hey, it's work. Somebody's got to go to the field. They ain't going to bring it to us. Amen. They're not going to load it up and bring the welfare department to Naomi's and Ruth's house. But she's going out to the field to glean. You know why we don't meet Jesus? We don't get in the field. That's where he is. Verse 3. And she went and gleaned in the field. That's the work of the field. Gleaning. And after the reapers, and her hap was to light upon the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Hey, now I like that kind of hap, don't you? You know what that is? That's a picture. That's a picture of how the Holy Ghost works in our life today. I mean, to tell you, you just get out there and start serving God, and God will carry you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'll tell you, I would have never met Charlie Andrews. I would have never met Glory Land Baptist Church had it not been that Brother Charlie was headed to the field, and I had a mind to do something in the field, and God put us together, and we went off and did a little work together and became friends, and he's been a teacher and a mentor to me all these years as we worked together in the field. field, amen. He was working among the Indians, and I was working among the Mexicans, amen. And we were in the field, working. You know what happened? We met, our hap was to run into a lot of good people. Brother Bill Allen, all these good preachers, amen. Brother Wood, one after another. We've seen souls saved. We can give you the names of people that were out that nobody thought would ever come around, but it was our hap, amen. The Holy Ghost of God said, hey, you head to the field. I'll get you in the right place, amen. 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 These folks that want to serve God and never serve God, I don't think they want to serve God. Amen. Your brother-in-law ought to go to heaven as good as somebody in Papua New Guinea ought to. A cousin down the street, the drunkard that's bothering you. It amazed me. I was studying today, and I came across something I never saw before. Do you know what happened when Peter got full of the Holy Ghost and started preaching? The first crowd that bird wouldn't preach to was the people that killed Jesus. Don't you think he had a little animosity? I mean, he stood up there and denied the Lord and broke his own heart. And the first time he gets a chance to preach with the power of God on him, he goes straight down there and calls their hand on that crucifying. Amen. What are you saying? Some of us might see something if we'd go try to win our enemy. The book does say love him, don't it? Love your enemy. Hey, if we'd have a Holy Ghost meeting, if some of us would just get over what we're mad at somebody about and try to win them to God. Amen. Her hap was to fall on this field. God put her in the right place. And to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And Boaz came from Bethlehem. Boy, I tell you, I know somebody else that came from Bethlehem, don't you? I know the King David came from Bethlehem. And I know the great one himself, the Lord Jesus, came from Bethlehem. And I'm telling you, marching out of Bethlehem is where the answer is. Amen. Here coming down this road comes old Boaz. His name means strength. Amen. He's a hero on foot. Hey, the Rochesters used to sing a song years and years ago, and they would talk about how bad things was, and all of a sudden the pace would pick up in that song, and they'd say, here comes the Lord riding under victory. Amen. And I'm telling you, just any day now, Jordan, we're going to get out of here and shout, and our Lord's going to call us up, and we're going to meet him in the air. But I'm telling you right now, if we get in the field, we might bump up against Jesus. Remember what Brother Earl Hughes used to preach? Brother Earl used to say, hey, I just want to be in the yoke with Jesus because every now and then I might bump up against him. Remember that? And I tell you today, if you'll just bump up against the Lord, hey, so the Lord's not real to me. I know he don't care what size tires you put on your truck, but if you're trying to win the God of God that bought the tires, you might bump into Jesus, amen. He don't care about our little piddly problems that have got us sunk down because we did a bunch of sinning, but he cares about the souls around us and using you and me to win those people. Hallelujah. Get our mind where God's mind's at. She ran into him in the field. It all changed. Look what happened when she ran into him. I'm okay. I'm watching our clock. I'm good. And it ain't you that I'm watching it for. It's me. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Isn't that good? How would you like to go to work tomorrow and the boss meets you and said, the Lord bless you? Walk in the door, Lord bless you. And they said, the Lord bless thee. I mean to tell you, we're talking about an atmosphere of godliness that's all going on out in the field. It ain't going on at the house. It ain't going on down yonder at the pool hall, but it's going on in the field, amen. I tell you, we walk up on good people in the field. We meet them out there. We meet them trying to serve the Lord. When we were lost in that jungle, and we were out there and couldn't find a place to stay, and it was the rainy season, and it was monsoon. I mean, just raining like in Mississippi, they call it a frog strangler. I mean, that's what it was doing. I mean, it's just raining. And straight down, we didn't have a tent, we didn't have a car, I didn't even have a pocket knife. I'd give that away in the meeting, amen. And before we got there, and we're roaming down this road, and all of a sudden I meet this big old tall, long, lanky looking black guy, and he's walking up there, and I can tell he is a bad dude. I've been around enough bad dudes to know a bad dude when I see him. And when I seen this crowd, my eye hooked to his, and I said, that's the dude I got to watch. Right there. I got to keep my eye on him because I believe he's a killer. That was my thought. We stood out there on that ground And we're trying to figure out how to get a ride or get something somewhere. And a crowd of these native guys around, you know, and everything's going on, every kind of language. Melanie's fussing at him because she's a Highland Mary now. And she's fussing in some kind of Highland language at him, trying to tell him one thing after another. And I'm watching this guy all along because I know this is a bad guy. And this guy walks up to me and he says, "Come, go with me." And Melanie was there and I said, "What's he saying?" She said, "He said, come go with him." So I follow him down this little trail, and I think, you know, this may be fixing to get on right here. And so, honestly, brethren, I wasn't having great spiritual thoughts, to tell the God's honest truth. I was trying to decide whether I was going for a knee or a shoulder. I was trying to remember I was trying to recall everything I had tried to forget. That's a God's honest truth. I mean, we're walking down this village path, through this jungle, and we get down there, and you know what he says to me? He said, "I'm a bad, bad man." And he said, "I don't deserve for you to be at my house." He said, "You don't walk on your legs. You walk in an automobile." He said, "I walk on my legs everywhere I go." And he said, "This is a bad place." And he said, "My house is your house." And he said, "I'm going to take care of you here." And he put us in his house. He runs somebody else out of that house. Went to the door and said, "Y'all have to leave." He gave that house to us, a village house. We sat by his fire. And his family brought us rice to eat. And his family took our clothes. That was Harry. When I come out, I said, "Hey, take your clothes off." "I don't think so. We're going to wash them." So they went and washed our clothes and brought them back to us. He could tell we was about to die, so he brought us the right kind of fruit that we'd eat for medicine to keep us alive. You know what I thought? This is just Jesus in the field. Yeah. All along he's carrying his spear around. It's got blood on it about that far up, and I'm just hoping that's pig blood on it. Amen. You know what happened that night? You know what happened that night? All the women in that village and the kids came out. And they crawled up on the porch and sit around on the porch of this place. And Melanie sat down there cross-legged with them and began to teach them the book of Ruth in their own language. And you know what happened? Them big old warriors stood out there, weren't supposed to listen. And they'd turn their back to her. And then they'd look at each other and turn their back like this and look and turn around and look. And they was listening. And God said, "Hey, it's worth a little rain to get you to the right place in the field, isn't it?" You know what I'm trying to tell you tonight? You'll run into Jesus if you just get in the field. You'll run. Hey, we're going to meet him in the house of the Lord, but you'll run into him out there in the field. And when you did, here's what happened. Look, verse 6, I got her again quickly. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is Naomi, the damsel that can't, it is the Moabite, this damsel, that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." Now, you know what happened? The servant, this is really good. The servant was keeping up with who she was. I'm so glad the Holy Ghost of God went and told the Lord Jesus who it was. Aren't you? I am so glad the Spirit of God wrote my name down in the book of life when I got born again by the grace of God. I am so glad. Hey, you know what the Holy Ghost is doing? He's telling on you. The Bible said he intercedes with prayers that can't be uttered. He's talking to the Master about you. He's telling Jesus all about you. You get ready to pray, and the Holy Ghost is translating your language to heaven before God where it ought to be. The Spirit of God's carried it there. Jesus Christ is confirming that it's right. God the Father's answering the prayers. Hallelujah. You get out there in the field, you get the Holy Ghost moving and talking and leading. That's what happens to your preacher every Sunday. When he gets up, the Holy Ghost comes by sometimes in the middle of the night and says, "Hey, this is the verse we want to talk about Sunday." And he begins to build an outline that he can preach to your heart and give you good medicine, because God wants you in the field. He'll lead you to the right place and the right people. There's more folks got their eyes on you than you know about. When you get in the field, you'll get the place the Holy Ghost can move in your life. Amen. I like that. Look here, verse 7. "And she said, I pray you, let me glean after the reapers among the sheaves."
So she came and then continued even from this morning until now that she tarried a little. You know what she did? She got to praying. And the servant told the Lord about the prayer. I pray you let me glean. He told her about how she worked. He kept up with the record of how she worked. He kept up with the record of what she did. Amen. That all happened while she was in the field. Man. Now, the first time we hear Boaz talk, really start to talk, here he is here. He spoke already, but now here's his first words to her. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest not, my daughter. Go not into glean in another field, neither from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." You know what happened? In the field, she got her prayers answered. And in the field, she found God's provision. You know how many times that we've seen God supply in the field? I mean to tell you how many times we've been right there where there was nothing else to do, no way else to make it go. And I'm telling you, God came by and met the need. One time I was in Mexico, way on down where in what they call the mountains down there. I was down there in that place, and we got to the border, and I had the wrong kind of papers or something. So there was a preacher wanted to go with me. He pastored a church right there along the border. And I told him, I said, "Look, you got a church van. Let's just take your van." Well, I didn't know he was supposed to ask the committee about that first. I didn't think about that. But he was afraid to say no to me, you know. So we just piled in and took off. So we crossed the border. All is well. We just had to have a title, you know. I had a vehicle I was driving along with somebody else. I didn't have a title for it. So we got down there. All is well. Well, we get out in the mountains and the transmission goes out in that thing. I didn't care. I looked over at him, and he was about to have a cardiac arrest, man. And I'm not availing nothing, because I heard somebody preaching the other day, and they told this testimony, and they said what he said, and what he said is what I told him. I told him, I said, "Look, brother, pop a button on that shirt and sit down somewhere and quit worrying about it and give God a chance." You know what happened? We out there in this place, ain't nothing nowhere. He said, "What are they going to do? There ain't no AA to call. Ain't nothing to do. We're out here. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" I said, "Just leave it alone. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it." And you know what them Mexicans did? They come out there, three or four of them, got under there, pulled that transmission. They didn't have no jack. They pulled that transmission out, set it out there on the ground by themselves. They went to town on foot, a cable car, a homemade airplane, I don't know. They went somewhere. They found a seal, brought it back, put it in, redid the transmission right there on the side of the block, on the mountainside, put it back in, and the thing leaked. So they took it back out, tore it all back down, went back and did it all again. Amen. You know what we did? We just had church another night and had seven people saved. How many stories could we tell like that? Over and over and over again. Brethren, you don't never want to get without his provision, do you? You know, I've seen churches. I pastored a church, and Brother Charlie knows this is true. I pastored a church one time that had about twice the amount of missionaries as I had members when I took the church. You know what God did? For that whole year, he supplied every cent that was needed to take care of them missionaries. And as a young preacher, I learned right then, you can trust God when it comes to this mission program. You know today what? There's a lot of churches I believe would have been folded up and gone if it wasn't for the missionaries. If it wasn't for what God was doing. Tonight's one of the most important meetings that you'll ever have all year long in your church. It's missions conference. We don't take it light because we know we're getting in the place where God's at. Amen. Not only that, hurrying. 1 minute, two, or left here, left. Look here. He says, "Let thine eyes be," verse 9, "on this field, that they do not reap and go after them, that they do reap and go after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Not only did she find her prayers answered and his provisions, but she got protection in the field. Amen. Protection. So many years ago, we were working in a rescue mission in downtown Memphis. And, you know, I was a redneck. I wasn't no city boy. So we were working on the streets there. And you know, motorcycle guys and rednecks ain't never always had the best, you know, they ain't never had the best rapport. And God spoke to my heart. It was a whole line of a motorcycle guys there, choppers and all kind of stuff, everything motorcycle guys do. All these Harley guys sitting there, and they were drinking. It was one of them spring fest. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "Go talk to them guys." And I thought, "Lord, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. Not them guys." He said, yeah. He goes, I want mine. I said, Lord, this is, well, we got to think about this. I went on, walked around a little while longer, and it was just, you know, you ever been there? I was just so burdened down, my eyeballs about to pop out. And God said, you got to go talk to them guys. And then it seemed like I could hear inside the whole Lord saying, bark, 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 you chicken, chicken, bark, 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 bark. And so I went up there. I finally walked up there. I said, what are you fellas doing? They said, just taking it easy. I said, well, listen, I don't know if you ever heard about the Lord Jesus or not, but he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to make sure that you knew that God loves you and there's a way to get to heaven. And one of them guys said, stop, pull up here and talk to us a while. And I guess I must have talked 45 minutes to them guys. I mean, the best crowd of folks I ever witnessed to in my life, right there. Amen. You know what they said? They said, when we come back through, we'll come to that little old mission church down there. And every now and then, you'd hear one of them Harleys pull up out front, and one or two of them would come in and sit in the mission services. I don't know if they ever got saved. I don't remember seeing that. But I'm just telling you, I scared to death, but God gave me some protection. Not only did he give me some protection, he gave me some friends. And I believe that if I had a needed protection on the street, I'd have had it. Amen. You know what I'm trying to tell you tonight? Say, hey, you don't have to be afraid of God. You don't have to be afraid of the mission field. I mean, I could tell stories all night about missionaries that have experienced God's protection. Melanie's done things that every time I think about them, I get mad. If I thought I could get by with it, I'd cut a switch. But God takes care, amen, with his protection. Let me hurry up and wind it down here. You see her confession is in that text. This girl starts out here at verse 10. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger. She starts out being a stranger. A little farther over, she becomes a handmaid. And at the end, she becomes a wife. It all happens in the field. It all changes in the field. Let me just pull this together. We started off in Matthew talking about our compassionate Lord and how his mind, his heart is on the field. Amen. And we went over there and looked at an Old Testament example, a picture, just a picture of how God works in the field. And that makes me want to go to the field. How about you? You ever thought about putting yourself in a place where only God could do for you what you need? Amen. Making your life a living sacrifice. And as you pray the next couple of days about your mission offering, see, we either got to go, or you remember what Brother Allen taught you back in those days when he was able to walk here? Somebody's got to send the light. Somebody's got to pay the light bill. So you can either go to the mission field, or you can pay for somebody else to go. And you can pray as you go. And that's what we're here to do tonight. Very simple. Very simple. Say, preacher, you just don't know the bind we're in. This thought occurred to me today, too, while I was studying this. Do you know there was 10 days? I heard a preacher preach this. There was 10 days when Jesus was gone and the Holy Spirit wasn't active on this earth. 10 dark days. You know what they did? They got in the upper room and prayed. They didn't leave and go anywhere else. They got that book out. They got that scriptures out. They went in that upper room and they prayed, waited on God. And man, Pentecost came. You know, today, sometimes, brethren, you may be in them dark days. Just take that book and pray. Wait on God, because we got to get back to the field. Amen? We got to get back to the field. All right. Lord bless you tonight. I appreciate, Lord, you letting us preach the word of God. May it be a help and an encouragement to these dear people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.